Never Wake. Story number 2. High Hoax. There once was a Sasquatch named Fosbie. What? No, this isn't going to be a dirty limerick, so settle down. Anyway, there once was a stoner Bigfoot named Fosbie. Okay, his name wasn't always that, but everyone knows by now that you don't go by your real name, especially when you're dealing with creatures from fairy. Yeah, I know I didn't mention the stoner part at first. It slipped my mind. But then I figured it's sort of important, so I should say something now. How about you kick back and chill, listen to the story, don't ask any questions. All will be explained. Just enjoy the moment. And seriously, stop interrupting. You're old enough to know better than that. Are you all right? Ranger Bruce asked his friend Jeremy as he helped the man to his feet. Jeremy stared in disbelief at the 7'4" ape-like humanoid. The forestry worker dusted the damp leaves off his work pants as he stood up, never taking his eyes off the Sasquatch. Fosbie stood behind Bruce and smiled nervously through sharp incisors. Bruce straightened his Washington State Park Ranger hat and chuckled to himself, before glancing back and forth at his friends.
"I'm really sorry, man,"
Fosbie said sheepishly to Jeremy.
"I thought Bruce was over here alone. I didn't see you behind that tree."
The Bigfoot shrugged his massive, hairy shoulders.
"I should have been using my heightened senses, but I'm really high, and I wasn't paying attention."
"Holy shit," Jeremy stammered. "You do not know how crazy it is to see a living Sasquatch talking." He paused and scanned the giant fairy creature from head to toe, lingering on his slightly pointed head and bushy eyebrows.
"Not that I've ever seen a Sasquatch at all, but words coming out of your mouth. You're really real, and you're speaking. It's fucking insane."
Fosbie reached into the leather messenger-like bag that was strung around his back and produced a natural-looking pipe that was made from a gourd.
"Do you want a hit?"
the Sasquatch asked.
"It might take the edge off."
Fosbie thrust the pipe forward with his huge, clawed fingers. Jeremy put his hands up to halt the advance.
"Nah, man, I'm good,"
the forestry worker said with a sigh.
"While I'd normally say yes, I think I need to soak this in. It'd be too weird to be baked and talking to you."
The Sasquatch pulled a lighter from his bag and lit it. He put the pipe to his lips and took a drag.
"You even have a lighter?" Jeremy said in disbelief. "A giant Bigfoot using a lighter to get stoned."
Fosbie shrugged.
"Bruce got it for me,"
he replied, pointing his thumb in the ranger's direction.
"I'm also not a Bigfoot or a Sasquatch. Those are Earth terms. I'm a Zati. It's spelled X-S-A-T-I. And it's pronounced with a Z. Zati."
"Ah, okay," Jeremy answered.
"Yeah, just like that. Only with more Z in the front."
Fosbie nodded. Jeremy began to laugh. "All right, I got it," he said, walking closer to the Zati for a better look.
"I think I'll take that hit after all, if the offer still stands, that is."
Fosbie grinned and nodded at both men.
"That's the spirit. Shake off that kick to your ego. I mean, who gives a shit if you're not the center of this universe, or any of the other ones?"
Jeremy nodded as he held in a big puff of marijuana.
"So, how long have you been here on Earth, and how long has Bruce known about you and never said anything to me?"
he asked, still holding the hit.
"I've been here more than a while, but less than forever,"
Fosbie stated.
"Probably a decade now. I wasn't paying attention, and I stepped in a shroom ring and ended up here."
Over the years, Fosbie the Zati, with his gigantic, ape-like frame, strong, lengthy arms, big feet, and shaggy brown fur, and Bruce, the handsome, well-built Washington State Park Ranger with auburn hair and short, well-kept beard, and Jeremy, the slightly stocky forestry worker and arborist with shoulder-length, dirty blonde hair and perpetual 5 o'clock scruff, became friends. They hung out and partied together. Sometimes they gathered at Bruce's ranger cabin in the Olympic Mountains. They did this mostly when the weather got chilly and Fosbie wanted to get out of the woods. Other times, if it was really cold, they'd hang out at Jeremy's place in Squim. During the years, they learned much about each other, as friends often do. They heard the tale of how Fosbie got his Earth name. This particular handle came to pass one night when Bruce and the Sasquatch were getting stoned and drinking Australian beer. They were watching a television puppet show that had an amusing fuzzy bear. In their infinite wisdom, they combined the bear with the beer, and Fosbie was the outcome. The trio also learned that Jeremy had a wife. Okay, well, not all three of them learned that, because obviously Jeremy already knew he had a wife. Tammy was a thin stoner chick with long straight blonde hair who worked at a salon in Squim. She surprised everyone by not being freaked out the first time she met Fosbie. To be fair, she was told about him in advance, but she was a real trooper. She always kept it together, no matter what was going on. Tammy was not one for losing her shit in a crisis, so she was brought into the group to help keep everyone in line. Life continued on for the friends. Unruly park-goers were tossed from state parks by Bruce. Sick trees were looked at and sometimes removed from parkland by Jeremy. Fosbie grew marijuana from seeds he'd brought with him from Ferry. Junk food was purchased, and tresses were trimmed and dyed and permed by Tammy. She sometimes volunteered to cut hair at the old folks' home and even tried to keep Fosbie looking good.
"You know, if you guys need money towards all the food I eat, you're welcome to sell some of my bud,"
Fosbie mentioned one cold winter evening in Bruce's cabin. They all got baked and watched the Science Channel on the small television. A commercial came on and interrupted the show about ancient Egypt.
"We do all right, and we don't really worry about the one extra mouth to feed," Bruce said. "Besides, why would we want to sell this primo weed? You're saving us a bundle by not having to purchase it somewhere else."
Fosbie nodded.
"Fair enough. I just don't want to be a mooch,"
he added, taking a big hit from the gourd pipe.
"I'd get a job, but I don't think anyone would hire a Sasquatch. I'm pretty sure the government is aware of the existence of fairies, and I don't want to end up in a cell somewhere. Plus, I don't know if I have any relevant job skills. Technically, I'm not very technical, and physically, I'm not the physical type. But hypothetically, I could be hypothetical."
Tammy crinkled some junk food wrappers, which got everyone's attention. "It's that time again, folks," she announced, tossing the packaged food to each of the men. "We're doing our weekly test of best and worst munchies food. Are we all high enough?" Everyone nodded and shrugged. "Okay, then. Today's first snack is pre-made buttery crackers with cheese." They each pulled the plastic that held the snack at bay. Everyone but Jeremy got a cracker and readied to take a bite.
"Damn," Jeremy exclaimed. "First of all, I gotta say, I don't like the packaging."
He glanced over at Fosbie, who was holding the food in front of his lips.
"How did all of you get in the wrapper so easily? I think I got a bum pack."
"Dude,"
sighed Fosbie.
"It was super easy to open."
He snatched the package away from Jeremy and slid a sharp nail under the foiled, cellophane-like covering. In a second, he handed it back to Jeremy. Everyone popped the biscuit into their mouth and began to eat. They chewed for a few minutes and exchanged looks.
"Did you say this was cheese?"
Fosbie asked. Tammy nodded. "Yeah, it says cheddar." The Sasquatch grimaced.
"That is some dusty-ass cheese,"
he said, smacking his lips.
"It's like slightly damp sawdust."
Jeremy chuckled.
"How do you know what wet sawdust tastes like?"
the arborist asked.
"I've tried some of the clippings from trees you've cut down,"
Fosbie answered nonchalantly.
"It's pretty humid in this state, and the wood dust sticks together."
"Man,"
Jeremy replied,
"those trees are usually sick. You probably shouldn't be eating that."
Fosbie shrugged and rolled his eyes.
Whatever. I'm only saying that some of those sawdust lumps were better than these fucking dry bricks.
Bruce and Tammy nodded their agreement. They looked to Jeremy to get his opinion on the snack.
Okay, yeah, they're really lacking in the moisture department, he stated. Probably not the best food to have with Cottonmouth.
They all took drinks of soda or water and continued on with the taste test. The next item on the menu was long pumpernickel pretzel sticks. Each one was as big around as a man's finger and covered with large bits of salt. Each person pulled a stick from the bag and began to crunch it down.
Oh, sweet zoddy God,
Fosby said with a cough. He glared over at Tammy.
Are you trying to choke us to death? It's like Night of the Living Dry.
Tammy began to laugh. Hey, this all looked good when I bought it.
Were you stoned when you went to the store?
Jeremy asked.
That's not always the best time to go shopping.
The flavor is actually pretty good,
Bruce chimed in. Fosby shot a mortified glance at the ranger.
It's like something from Egyptian tomb,
the Bigfoot said, pointing at the television. The commercials had ended, and the science program was back on.
This has clearly been made and packaged in a desert-like environment.
He threw his hands in the air and began to chew with his mouth open.
I feel like I'm eating a mummy. If you told me this was a mummy's finger, I'd totally believe you.
Jeremy winced.
I'm going with the big guy on this one. Mummy sticks are terrible to eat.
Fosby started laughing uncontrollably.
Mummy sticks. That is the perfect name for these. You should get a hold of this company and tell them to change their name to that. They could even get a logo with, like, pyramids and shit.
Tammy eyed Bruce before she shrugged. What do you say? The ranger sighed.
I think they'd be fine if we weren't so stoned. Cottonmouth has ruined another possibly delicious snack. I guess everything can't be as perfect as a bowl of cereal.
That winter was one of the coldest. The snow got so deep that the ranger station had to be closed up. With Bruce moving to another cabin that was down near the park entrance, Fosby had to head into Squim to stay with Tammy and Jeremy. Things would have been fine if not for two unforeseen occurrences. First issue, Fosby, in his inebriated state, left footprints in the snow near the original cabin. Secondly, was the snowshoer and cryptozoologist Bigfoot hunter, Brian Grant, who just so happened to be out with two of his cronies searching for Sasquatch tracks. Brian was a heavyset fellow with short, buzz-cut hair. He had served 4 years in the Army. Now, when he wasn't running fishing boat tours in the Strait of Juan de Fuca, he was in the Olympics with Bob and Guillermo, searching for Bigfoot.
It's gotta be a fake,
Guillermo said, searching Brian and Bob's faces for validation. The short Hispanic man folded his arms and waited for his friends to respond. The other two men kept inspecting the tracks and whispering between themselves. Guillermo pulled off his beanie and brushed his spiky black hair with his gloved hand.
Hey, just because you guys have been doing this longer than me, don't mean you can ignore me. I'm out here in the freezing cold because I believe.
He paused, but there was no reply.
Hey, it's getting dark, man.
Sorry,
Bob exclaimed. The thin old man stood up and pulled out a cigarette. His lighter flashed in the late afternoon gloom and cast a warm glow across his harsh, bird-like features.
I'm with G on this one. I think this is a fake. Come on, what Sasquatch would hang around a ranger station?
Brian got off his knee and put his hands on his hips. He looked around in the fading light. For a moment, he stared through the open field and out into the deep woods.
These are the best-looking fake tracks I've ever seen,
the tall, pudgy man said with a nod.
So realistic, in fact, that I don't think they are fakes.
There was a long moment of silence, and then heavy snow crashed to the ground from some high-up branches. All three men jumped, but only Brian was heavy enough to sink into the snow. Bob and Guillermo laughed at how startled they were. They dismissed the tracks and waved Brian off as they headed back down the mountain.
Come on, man,
Guillermo called when he realized Brian wasn't behind them. Brian shook his head.
You guys go ahead. I'm going to follow these tracks.
Bob turned back to Brian and motioned for him.
Seriously?
the skinny old man asked, throwing his arms out and up. He took a drag from his cigarette. When he saw that Brian wasn't coming, he rolled his eyes and continued on.
Well, be careful, and keep your phone handy.
Whoa,
Fosbie cooed as they inspected Jeremy and Tammy's new flat-screen television.
And look at all the channels.
It's a long way from the couple of stations that Bruce picks up at the cabin, Jeremy replied.
I'll say,
retorted the Sasquatch.
I have watched some amazing nature programs while you two have been getting busy in your bedroom.
Tammy pursed her lips. That is not what we were doing, she snipped.
It's cool,
Fosbie said.
This bad weather wasn't planned, and I know you have needs, even if you do have unexpected company.
He winked at her and made kissy face.
Just because I don't know any Lady Zaddy in the area doesn't mean I have no idea about the birds and bees. Hell, look at your weird planet,
he noted, pointing at the television.
I just finished watching a nature program. It's like someone took the adjustment setting on animals and just cranked it all the way around in every direction. I think everything on Earth must have started as the same thing. Do you know that male seahorses hold the babies to term in a carry pouch? Seahorses and kangaroos are basically the same animal, only a different size and in different elements. They even kind of look similar. Weird tail, pouch, long head, funny little arms.
Jeremy plopped down in the oversized recliner. He could barely see over the top of Fosbie's head, even though the Zaddy was sitting on the floor. Fosbie took a drag off his pipe and handed it back to Jeremy. The arborist took a hit and leaned back. He blew out the smoke as his eyes narrowed to slits.
I've been stoned for hours,
Jeremy said with a sigh.
It's like I lost a whole day.
Fosbie turned back toward his buddy without moving from his place on the carpet.
Days spent high with your friends are never wasted.
He paused and got wide-eyed.
Whoa, that was deep.
They both began to laugh as Jeremy's wife brought out some Chinese food. The trio ate fried rice and sweet and sour chicken. Tammy turned the channel to watch gymnastics. They continued to smoke pot as they viewed leotard-clad women tumbling around on mats.
This is weird,
Fosbie eventually noted. You don't like gymnastics? Tammy asked, scooping rice into her mouth with chopsticks.
I didn't mean the show,
Fosbie replied.
I meant this.
He held up an egg roll.
I know it's winter, but I don't think there's enough summer salt on my spring roll.
The woman stared blankly at the Zaddy for a few seconds. Finding a way to add the word fall into that joke might have made it funny, Tammy jabbed.
What's really funny is how such a skinny girl can eat so much without gaining any weight,
Fosbie retorted. Just then there was a knock at the door. The trio shot suspicious looks at each other, since they weren't expecting Bruce that evening. Jeremy glanced out the picture window as he headed for the front door. Through the sheer curtains, he could tell it was beginning to snow heavily. The arborist opened the door to find a pot-bellied man in winter gear. Snow was sticking to his close-shaved hair, and he peered around Jeremy and into the house. Fosbie was sitting cross-legged on the floor. He pulled his pipe from his lips and waved at the man before releasing the hit. The cryptozoologist pulled a handgun and angrily pushed his way into the house. He kicked the door closed with his foot and then motioned for Jeremy to move over with Fosbie and Tammy.
I found you,
he exclaimed with much excitement and adrenaline.
I followed your tracks for hours. It's fucking snowing like a motherfucker out there, and it's like 25 degrees.
Jeremy shook his head and turned to Fosbie.
You left tracks on your way here?
The Sasquatch set his pipe on the floor beside the lighter.
Well, couldn't get a ride with Bruce. Can't even fit in the cab of that little pickup. And if I lay in the truck bed, my knees stick up. Do you want people to think the ranger killed a bear? Holy fucking shit, it talks,
the hunter stammered.
I know, right? Jeremy added. I had the same reaction when I first met Fosbie.
The heavyset man shook his head in disbelief.
Its name is Fosbie? What kind of Bigfoot name is that?
A peeved look passed over Tammy's face. How about you come in and have a seat, she said. We can have some dinner and you can talk to Fosby.
I don't want to have dinner, the hunter replied. I want to capture a Sasquatch and become rich and famous.
Okay, Tammy sighed. But you've been hiking in the snow for hours and you look like you could use something to eat.
Are you trying to say I'm overweight?
The cryptozoologist asked.
No,
Tammy snapped. I'm just saying, if you talk to Fosby, you'd see he's all right. Just have a seat. We've got sweet and sour chicken. We have beer. You can have a smoke with us.
I'm not getting stoned with you freaks,
the hunter barked.
That's illegal.
So is barging into someone's house brandishing a gun,
Jeremy said dryly.
Look, I get it. You're sensitive about your weight, and you're out to catch a Sasquatch.
And you don't smoke pot,
Fosby added.
But we're not going to hold that against you.
The man shot angry looks at the trio.
I don't give two shits of a lamb's tail about whether or not you people want to get high.
Fosby smirked.
Buddy, I've only been here on Earth for like 10 winters, and even I know that's not how that saying goes.
Fuck you, the hunter said.
I'm not your buddy. I'm Brian Grant, cryptozoologist and Bigfoot hunter.
Tammy motioned toward the kitchen with her thumb. I'm just gonna go get that chicken and some beers.
Yeah, okay, Brian nodded. I like spicy sauce if you have any.
When Tammy returned to the living room, Brian was on the couch. He still had his gun pointed at Fosby and Jeremy. The hairstylist handed plates and beers to everyone before she sat in the recliner beside her husband's.
You're really harsh in my gig with that firearm,
Fosby said with a sigh.
Tough shit, Brian retorted. So if you're going to tell me your story, then do it, so we can get on with this capture. I just want to leave these two crazy people and collect my reward.
Fosby took a hit from the hollowed-out gourd.
The fact that you have slightly different and downright crazy people on your planet is a sign that diverse evolution and species survivability is real. There's always someone crazy about something, and one of them is bound to be hoarding crap and preparing to survive and repopulate the planet.
Just hear him out, Tammy suggested. If you don't change your mind, you can take him in. We won't stop you. He's a total mooch anyway. Fosby's mouth turned O-shaped with shock.
You said I wasn't being a mooch. You said free weed was payment enough.
Brian raised a brow as he shoveled food into his mouth. He took multiple swallows of beer, burped, and then motioned with his gun.
Let's hurry this tale along, or you're just gonna bore me with your stoner rambling.
Fosby rambled for another 10 minutes. After a few moments of silence, the Zaddy excused himself to use the bathroom. Tammy got up and went to the kitchen for more drinks. She popped into the living room and handed the hunter one of the drinks before leaving to check on Fosby. When the Sasquatch and the hairstylist returned, they found Brian had downed his second beer. The heavyset man was beginning to act loopy, so the trio watched him momentarily.
Well, I think you're ready to hear the truth,
Fosby announced. He turned around so his back faced Brian. Tammy got up and walked over to the Zaddy and pointed up at his spine. Between his shoulder blades was a zipper. The hunter stood up and staggered over for a closer look. As he drunkenly tried to focus, Jeremy crept up and peered around the man. He shifted his eyes toward Tammy and scowled as his wife reached up and began to unzip the zipper. At that moment, Brian fell backward and hit the floor with a loud thud.
What the fuck?
Jeremy asked his wife.
Is that zipper off my jeans?
He pointed at Brian, who was now mostly unconscious. The hunter was rolling around, moaning incoherently.
What's up with this douche?
Okay, yeah, I ripped the zipper off your pants and sewed it into Fosby's fur when we left the room a few minutes ago, Tammy began.
You ruined my jeans to fool this guy? And it looks like complete crap,
Jeremy bemoaned.
You guys planned this?
It's okay, because I knew this guy was going to black out at any minute, she admitted. Tammy saw the bewildered look on her husband's face, so she continued. I put weed in his hot sauce, and I dropped like 3 or 4 Xanax into his first beer, and 2 more into the second. Jeremy threw his hands in the air.
Where the hell did you get those?
Tammy gave a stiff smile. There's this little old lady from the nursing home. She always tries to tip me after I cut her hair. Lately, she's been offering me these pills. She gets really offended if I don't take them, so I took them. I tried them a few weeks ago, and holy crap, they have quite the kick, especially if you take them with booze. This guy will barely remember any of this in the morning. And yeah, I planned this when I first suggested dinner. Fosby nodded.
Aw, I knew you guys didn't think I was a mooch. Anyway, this guy is toasted. The drugs, plus the amount of snow that's coming down, he certainly won't find your place again. You guys are kinda on the outskirts of the city. You don't even have a house number.
The Zaddy bent down, scooped up the hunter, and tossed him over his shoulder.
I'll sneak into town and drop this lump outside the police station.
Fosby returned 30 minutes later. When he walked in, he could smell popcorn cooking. He shook his body and dropped heavy snow on the carpet before running into the kitchen. Jeremy and Tammy were standing by the stove watching the air popper. Fosby stood in front of the machine and held his hands up to catch the heat.
Ugh,
he shivered.
It's warm, and I'm gonna get to eat it.
The trio took big hits of weed while the corn snapped and popped inside the machine. When it was done cooking, Tammy sprayed butter on it and shook some seasoned salt on top. Fosby grabbed a massive handful from the big bowl and tossed it into his mouth. Tammy and Jeremy did the same. After a few seconds of chewing, Fosby's features contorted.
I have cotton mouth so bad, and this popcorn tastes squeaky.
They had a good hearty laugh about the evening's events. Jeremy even coughed up popcorn, he was giggling so much. And that is the tale of the stoner Zaddy and the Bigfoot hunter. What's that? What's the moral of the story? Well, I suppose your friends will drug you in a good way, but they'll drug enemies in a bad way, I guess. Gosh, you sure ask a lot of questions. High Hoax was written for this compilation. It's a prequel appearance by fan favorite stoner Bigfoot Sasquatch Zaddy Fosby. For other appearances of Fosby, check out Royal Seasons Book 2, The Prince Collector, Book 3, Princess Way, Book 4, King Seized, and both books in the Chronomagic Arrhythmia storyline, Time's Fable and Soul Wars. This story also shows Fosby's friends, Ranger Bruce from The Prince Collector, and the only briefly mentioned friends from Squim, Washington, that the Sasquatch talks about in The Prince Collector.